If that's all you knew,
perdóname, what?
Then close your mouth and don't say anything. Stop. You don't say anything.
I can't even fathom how you come up with like, man, you know, wrong he was place, just walking around an illegal, undocumented, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call him,
yeah.
is just walking around with a handgun. And got startled because of these kids.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Masadi. I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Rachel, you're getting ready for some travel.
I am getting ready for some travel.
Have you shared where you're going yet? I haven't.
I'm going to keep it under wraps until we get there tomorrow night. And then I'll be sharing all kinds. And then we can talk about it in the unfiltered episode on
Saturday.
Yes.
Which reminds me, some housekeeping, friends. But because Rachel will be traveling. And actually, I think you're returning on Thursday.
No.
You're
getting home late Friday night.
Yeah, but you're there on Thursday. Mm-hmm, so yes. She won't be available. So we're not going to have an episode on Thursday, but we are going to do the unfiltered episode live on Saturday. But since we're not going to be having an episode on Thursday, we decided that we're going to go ahead and open up our unfiltered episode on Saturday for everybody to join us. So if you've been wanting to watch Unfiltered, partake in our new live Unfiltered, you kind of want to get a feel for what it's like, join us this Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern, where we are doing our unfiltered episodes that are typically exclusive for our paying subscribers. We do them the last Saturday of every month at 11 a.m. So hopefully we will see you there. We had a lot of fun last time. So yeah, we would love to see some new faces in some of our supporters there.
It'll be fun. Can I tell a little story? I didn't tell you I was going to do this. And I know how that throws you off when it's not on the outline.
I suppose I will allow it.
Okay. So I'm sure by now some of you have heard about this story because it's kind of going viral online, but it kind of touches where we live too. So I don't know, Masadi, if you've seen the video of this Kentucky family that's rejecting a $26 million offer for their land so that the state could put AI data centers in where they live. So they interview this woman who has a family farm that has been in their family for like generations. And they interview her. She talks about how their family farm fed people all the way going back to like providing wheat during the Great Depression. And they have grown, you know, their own food for decades. And she's like, there's no way I'm selling my land. It's just not happening. And she's being offered $26 million. And there's all this chatter online. Some people are saying she's crazy for not taking it. Other people are saying she's incredibly based. Like, this is incredible that she's saying no to the government, no to building AI data centers, or not even just saying no to AI data centers, just saying this is
not on my land.
Not on my land. And I was reading the story yesterday and I was like, she's a queen. Incredible. You know, she's walking around just in her sweatshirt with a walking stick next to her cows. And she's like, no, I'm not selling this. Even if it's $26 million, that means nothing to me. And as soon as I shut my computer from working, I then get a message with a link about how this exact same thing is happening basically down the road from Sean and I in Northern Virginia, in Loudoun County, which is becoming a hub for AI data centers, and how they offered the residents in this one particular area where they're trying to build $4 million per acre. And, you know, these houses sit on huge lots and it's pretty close to where we live. And so I go, you know, this is coming for us, especially back where we live. They're already laying all of the groundwork, literally, for all mm-hmm. the data centers that are coming out of Richmond, everywhere here in Virginia. And if that did come to where we live, we have 6 acres. That's a $24 million payout if the people around us chose to sell land and we ourselves chose to sell land. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, you hear about stories like that. That's wild, but that could never happen here. And I'm like, no, it's quite literally happening here. Like,
Well, there's a lot of land in Tennessee. You should.
I know. I know. I told him that. I was like, this is crazy. Just in the 8 years we've lived here, they're already building up around us, all Amazon centers, data centers. They're putting in a development down the road on this quiet little back road we live on. They're building 25 houses within the next year or two.
That would be an interesting discussion to have about data centers, because I have thoughts.
Yep. But I thought I'd bring it up and then not allow us to talk about it at all. But I wanted to share. I thought that was interesting. And I'd love to hear if that's happening, like, to, you know, to our listeners in your area, because it's coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it or not.
Well, I mean, like it or not. And it is necessary. Mm-hmm. So that's the challenge of balancing what's necessary and what's, I don't know, what you can conserve. You know what I mean? And it's really, it's a hard balance right now, especially when you're in times with such significant change. So,
Well, anyways,
before we get started with today's episode, if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Please hit that follow button wherever you're listening. We're on all major podcast apps. YouTube the next day. Our primary platform is Substack. If you're not following us on Substack, what are you doing? Come join us, support us. Okay. And if you're already a paying subscriber on Rivera and Reeves, shoot Rachel or I a DM, email, however, and we will give you a discount code to our individual Substacks. Okay. So what are we talking about today? There's so much going on. Yes. And it's like, I prefer, like, I understand that sometimes the news happens and it's like big stories and it's like one big story that you can kind of easily follow. And right now we're in this era of like, all these little pathways going in like 20 different directions.
Yes.
Okay. And I want to talk a little bit of domestic. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Iran, but just to kind of to give you an update, because a lot happened over the weekend. And not only did a lot happen over the weekend, but a lot of significant things happened over the weekend. So we're not going to go really deep into it, but we're going to like set the stage just so you are up to date. Now, one of the biggest things that people have been talking about is the situation with the shutdown, TSA, DHS, right? Actually, we were just talking about before the episode started on whether or not Rachel's going to have to deal with TSA lines or not.
I hope not. I hope not, because I get cranky easily.
Just in general?
Not in general. I'm a rather pleasant person. But if I'm made to stand in a line for 4 or 5 hours, I'm going to become a Karen. Real fast. We'll see.
So where are we at right now? So DHS has been shut down since February 14th. That's 38 days. TSA, which is an essential agency, has 50,000 agents, and they are required to show up because they are essential. So they are working without pay, and they've been working without pay for almost 40 days. Okay. This weekend, over 3,200 agents called out in a single day, and over 400 have quit already. They're looking at, I think I've seen the lines in Atlanta, in Houston, Philadelphia, like all the kind of like major airports, New York, LaGuardia, and JFK. They're looking at 2 to 3 hour waits. And that's just to get through security right now. And it's gotten to the point that the TSA acting deputy administrator has thrown around the idea of maybe having to shut down smaller airports in order to deal with the stress of agents not showing up or actually agents quitting. So why is this happening? Because there's currently a fight happening in the Senate over the funding of DHS. So DHS is a large agency. And within DHS, there's other agencies like the Coast Guard, TSA, which other ones are in there? FEMA is in there. But the main sticking point is that the Democrats want reform when it comes to ICE, which is another one of the agencies under the Department of Homeland Security. And that is where the fight is playing out right now. And so far, there have been 5 attempts to pass legislation. The Democrats have blocked it. And there's
a narrative fight going on. Mm-hmm. So depending on who you talk to, because I don't know if you've gotten this, Rachel, but I've had, every time I have shared stories about how the TSA continues to like not be funded and DHS mm-hmm. continues not to be funded,
yeah.
I'm getting a lot of questions about, well, I hear reports that the Republicans are voting against it and they're the ones that are blocking TSA from getting payment. Have you been getting that also?
Yes.
And I wanted to provide an explanation of exactly what's going on, because it's not as simple as it sounds. So the full bill, the full package idea is to fund DHS as a whole. So that's the umbrella agency. And then, like I mentioned before, within that agency, there's these other departments, ICE being one of them. And the main sticking point is ICE, where these other agencies are going and being negatively affected. So they're kind of being held hostage, frankly, because the Democrats want reform on ICE. Things like they don't want them to be able to wear masks. They want to expand warrant requirements to be judicial warrants, which would greatly limit ICE capabilities, which have been using mostly administrative warrants. The only time that you need a judicial warrant is to go into someone's home. And yes, there was a memo, and I think that's probably what brought that up. But the ICE has pulled back on that, especially since Homan has taken over.
Yeah.
So then there was some additional amendments too that they voted against, the Democrats, which was, I think, a transgender amendment was in there, where like they wouldn't, I don't even know why they were trying to squeeze that in at the time. But the thing is that the Republicans are arguing that they don't want to separate things out, because that has never happened before. And that would set a precedent to where, if you wanted to get into the politics of things, instead of funding DHS, the next administration can be like, well, I don't want to fund FEMA, so let's pull that out. Or I don't want to fund the EPA, so let's pull that out. And it creates this whole like you think things are complicated to push through now. Yeah. Let's start taking out these little bits and pieces, and then having to argue and dictate every single subcategory of every single agency. Like, right. I think that's kind of a formula for disaster.
Well, and for just more and more waiting. Like, it's just, this isn't going to solve quickly, especially with the slowest Congress moves. Like, good luck. I don't know. And I do think it kind of is playing into Trump's hand, where he's deploying ICE to the airports because they won't fund ICE. So he's like, fine, if they don't want to fund ICE. And he's calling their bluff. He's like, okay, I'll send them to the airports to clean up your mess.
It's not even about funding ICE. It's not like they're saying, exactly, I don't want to fund ICE. What they want is, because ICE is already funded until 2030.
It's optics. Of course, they know that. But they're betting on the fact that the general public doesn't, and a lot of them don't. So it's posturing. It's like, look what we're doing. We're going to penalize DHS, which is going to negatively impact ICE. And all of us who know better, we're like, no, it's not. You know that. But what I thought was really funny is that Delta Airline suspended its service desk, special desk service for members of Congress until the showdown, shutdown over DHS is over. And I was like, great. First of all, I didn't even know that existed. And I don't think a lot of people knew that it existed, but now we do. And Delta's like, no help for you. We're done. We're done here.
Well, and there's been a lot going on. So now, you know, I'm kind of curious what you think about, because I was debating this myself. So right now there's pressure because the politics and the optics of it, of this whole situation isn't great. Yeah. You have federal employees that are going without pay. Mm-hmm. You have long lines. You know, people are getting frustrated. And, you know, and Congress is still battling it out. And I think the Democrats, I think it doesn't favor the Democrats currently, because they're really fighting on an issue that is actually, if you step back, has become resolved. It's become resolved. Like, first of all, we have a new, we have a new DHS director, secretary, Mark Wayne Mullen was confirmed today. So Kristi Noem out. They wanted to get rid of her. They got rid of her. They got Mark Wayne Mullen now. We'll see if he has a department funded to lead up. I'm very interested to see how he
does.
I think his press conferences are going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I think
he's spicy.
Yeah, so he should interested. Be. I mean, for content purposes, he should be very entertaining. Yeah,
he's going to translate real well for my reels. Like, that'll be great. But I don't know. We'll see.
So, they've gotten rid of Kristi Noem's out. They got a new secretary. Mm-hmm. Homan is the one that's now kind of leading. They've pulled back on rounding everybody up and just focusing on criminals, which a lot of people, they're depending on where you land on within the Republican Party, are okay with it. A lot of people are very frustrated with it. So now at what point, like, what are the Democrats actually fighting for, except being in the way of people getting their pay? Yeah. But then at the same time, so Homan and the president, like Homan did with Dana Bash, State of the Union, sat down with her and explained the plan for ICE agents to help with TSA. And I'm just curious, like, with ICE helping with TSA, I think it's like a little bit of the president poking the Democrats, but then also, isn't he creating some breathing room too? Although the TSA agents are still being, like, they're still not paid and they're not really helping shorten the lines per se, because they're not running the checkpoints. They're just helping with security in the area.
You know what I saw though, and I meant to read it. It was an article, because the Democrats are rushing to write articles and make think pieces about why deploying ICE to the airports is not working.
So it's all a staging ground for the elections, by the way.
Of course. So I saw tons of like the Atlantic put one out, I think. I don't remember who else did, but they're already jumping to say this isn't helping anything. In fact, it's hurting it. And then they're showing, you know, content, videos and what have you of people kind of going crazy at the airport and like booing at ICE and yelling at them and all that stuff. But I'm looking here. I swear I saw someone addressing that it actually is helping in certain places, but I can't seem to find it. If I find it, I'll interrupt you and read it to you. But I think it has been somewhat helpful in some areas. But right now, I think it is Trump just kind of
poking the bear.
Yeah, I think so. He's good at that. He likes doing that. I don't know.
Well, I have Homan here explaining what exactly the ICE agents were planning to are out to do at the airports.
Put together a plan today and we'll execute tomorrow.
Okay, so there are a lot of questions here. First of all, are ICE agents even remotely trained to handle security at airports?
ICE agents receive high level of training. And, you know, the ICE agents are assigned at many airports across the country already. They do a lot of investigation, criminal investigation on smuggling at airports. But, you know, you got TSA agents covering exits, you know, people that enter through the exits. You know, certainly a highly trained ICE law enforcement officer can cover an exit, makes people don't go through those exits, entering the airport through the exits. And that stuff like that relieves that TSA officer to go to screening to reduce those lines. So wherever we can provide extra security, I don't see an ICE agent looking at an X-ray machine because they're not trained in that. There are certain parts of security that TSA is doing that we can move them off those jobs and put them in the specialized jobs, help move those lines.
Okay, that was going to be my next.
So they're basically there as support, but of course, the Democrats, you heard her question, like, are they even trained to do this? And that's one of their primary focuses. And I think it's been really interesting throughout this entire saga that there's this constant attack on ICE and Border Patrol, actually, to be like untrained, incompetent, incapable, just consistently undermined as if, I don't know, they weren't hired specifically to do that job. And many of them haven't been doing it for over a decade.
Well, yeah. And to not know or to know and act like it's not happening. I've seen ICE agents at airports before. They are at airports sometimes. This isn't like they just are going It's not like they're dropping ice off at the local farm and being like, go work there. They don't have specialized training for that. They're doing something that they have been trained in and that they've probably already done at some point in their career. It's not what they're supposed to do all the time. But when there's a lack of something and there can be a suitable replacement for a short amount of time, if this is going to resolve itself quickly, I know they want to make it, they're painting a picture that ICE is being put into positions and in jobs that they don't know what they're doing. But I don't know how that's going to translate to the American public, and if that's just one of these conversations that's happening in like the newsy.
Yeah, it's just space. like a debate to have. I mean, if you go and you ask questions of people besides like the random, I don't know, liberal chick or whatever that's yelling at ICE for being Nazis, most people are like, look, you know, they're helping.
They're doing work their job. Here. Leave them alone.
Yeah, like we go on about our business. Right. Now, the idea is like, are we ever going to get out of this? Now, I read Punchbowl News this morning, and they were reporting that there are some proposals right now where, because Democrats, like I mentioned before, have been proposing funding TSA separately and leaving ICE unfunded, which I personally think is a very bad idea. Like, I just think that the precedent that that sends for the future is just not going to go well. Okay. Now, Trump said, look, I'm not going to look at anything unless any DHS deal, unless you include passage of the Save America Act, which is a voter ID, proof of citizenship, and also no mail-in ballot initiative. I don't understand why he's doing that. I mean, like, I get that he thinks this is important, and I agree. Like, I want it passed too, which is currently still being debated or up for the debate in the Senate. But I don't understand holding one like saying, I'm not going to sign this if you don't do this, when you've already had TSA go for almost 40 days without pay. Yeah. Like, I don't see politically the advantage of that.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Cachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Cachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
And I will say that I feel like the president hasn't really been in the mindset of politics lately, much to the chagrin of probably Susie Wiles and James Blair, because otherwise he would have, first of all, held off on the whole Iran strike. And I think the SAVE Act is another example of that. Like, his priority really is not the optics of politics. It's like getting stuff done. He's like, this is my last term. I got to keep the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
This is what's important to me to get stuff done.
Yeah.
So I don't know how well it's going to hand off, but Senator Kennedy and Senator Cruz have a proposal. Senator Kennedy was with Will Cain, and he kind of made the case on this. So here we go.
I came up with a plan. We said, look, it's a two-step process. The Democrats have offered to open up everything but ICE. Ted and I said, okay, let's accept their offer. And then at the same time, we would offer a bill for reconciliation where we don't need any Democratic votes to do whatever we wanted to do with ICE. And that way we're out of the shutdown and DHS is back open. We submitted that, Senator Crithoon submitted that to President Trump, as is his right. He said no. No deals with the Democrats.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I know. It feels like we're at a stalemate here.
Now, I don't know, because Punchbowl News this morning was kind of talking like, hey, there could be, it says, for the first time in more than a month, there's optimism that the Senate and the White House can finally find a path to reopen DHS. It says the framework under discussion would fund all of DHS except for ICE's migrant removal operations and could eventually include some reforms that Democrats have been demanding. So one of them being, I think, like the mask situation might be up. Mm-hmm. And there was another one that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know the warrants was like a no-go, which I think is fair. But then the president was then again approached, allegedly, this is the reports, and that he's kind of maybe going, okay, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have to take this to reconciliation, which I think is just going to turn into potentially another mess because the Democrats will come in opposition and they'll try to like squeeze other things in. I mean, at least ICE is funded, but I just don't think this is a good, I think this
strategy.
This is going to be a mess because if you break down all these little pieces of a very complicated government that the Democrats just love to continue to grow and grow, it's basically itemizing a bill. Can you imagine, like, you're at dinner with a group of friends, right? And you're all thinking, like, let's just fund this. Let's just pay for the bill altogether. And then you have, like, half of the table goes, no, we need to go through and, like, itemize every freaking gram that was on this dinner bill.
You're going to have some serious resentment growing. A lot of people aren't going to be working across the aisle anymore. People are going to be held political hostages about pet projects and all kinds of things. It's going to be a mess.
Well, not only that, but it's like you're already making an unpopular job where it's hard to hold like decent people in congressional seats more difficult.
Yeah. And I think they're picking the wrong topic to major on. I mean, yes.
Who are we talking about? The Democrats or the
Democrats? Yeah. The Democrats. Because if you step outside of, you know, Twitter, where, you know, only a small percentage of Americans spend a lot of their time, and you talk to just like normie Americans, even left of center Democrats, normal Democrats, they're happy that ICE has done the job that they've done. We can talk about what happened,
Minneapolis.
Yeah. But for the most part, people are glad that the border's closed. It's a mess, or it was a mess, and now it's not. And so the Democrats are spending a lot of their political capital on this one issue. And people get exhausted after a while. They're like, can you fight for something right now that's worth fighting over? This is not. You're holding up average Americans who want a vacation, go on spring break, they need to travel for work. You're making their life a disaster. And for what? Why doing this with ICE and DHS? Why can't we pick another battle that's worth fighting? I think a lot of normal people feel like that. And I don't know why the Democrats are holding so fast to this, unless it's just, you know, they hate the SAVE Act so much that they're like, this is what we're picking. And I think that Americans are going to get tired real fast of this.
Well, okay. So I think it's very interesting that you bring up, like, here they are again, doubling down, because their defense is like, it's immigration. Again, it's another way to hand tie the administration from being able to enforce immigration,
right?
Like illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a story broke. Yeah. I started to see it yesterday, I think, or
I
maybe over the weekend.
I started to see it on Monday. It was yesterday Monday? I started seeing it on Sunday night. I don't know. All the days are a blur to me, Miss Sadie. I started seeing it on Sunday evening.
Okay, no. Me too. So on, I think it was March 19th, a young woman, her name is Sheridan Gorman, 18 years old, freshman at Loyola University in Chicago.
Yes.
Very, like, she was so freaking cute. Okay, so she's out with friends.
Yeah, I'm pulling up my post about it right now.
At Lake Michigan to try and see the Northern Lights. Just being like a typical...
A normal human.
Teenager, okay? Yeah. She's out with her friends.
Not getting trashed. It wouldn't be okay if this happened to her, even if she was like trashed walking along the road. She was just looking at the Northern Lights. Like she was, like you said,
yeah,
spending time with friends.
I know a normal average thing that you would expect almost any of your teenagers to be doing. Yeah. And then the kids, they notice a masked man approaching, mm-hmm. kind of hiding in the bushes. They try to get away. They start to get nervous, get away. And the reports are, I don't know if at some point there was any type of interaction, but at the end of the day, a Gorman was shot dead by Jose Medina Medina, 25 years old, a Venezuelan illegal immigrant that entered the United States May of 2023, was caught at the border entering illegally, released into the interior, okay, by the Biden administration, the catch and release program. He made his way up to Chicago. In Chicago, he was caught, like it was a month later, he was caught mm-hmm. shoplifting from a Macy's. And then because Chicago has sanctuary city laws, they did not inform DHS or ICE or anybody. They released him again. And now we have this young woman. It's another Lincoln Riley is what it is. It's it's basically the same situation. Mm-hmm. And this is the situation that was created previously by the previous administration. Mm-hmm. And this is also the type of situation that the sanctuary cities and the Democrats, frankly, are fighting to hand tie ICE from enforcing.
Yeah, which is why you have really, really pathetic, arguably disgusting responses or lack of responses from state officials. Like Pritzker was out in an interview at an agricultural event and he blamed President Trump during that.
Yeah, he said that President Trump shouldn't be politicizing the event. And I'm like, how about we talk about the policy?
Yeah.
This person could have been caught on two occasions. He could have been mm-hmm. returned to his country of origin at the border, or the Chicago police could have contacted ICE or Border Patrol to come and get him.
So he put it on Trump and said it's a failure of comprehensive immigration reform, a failure of the president to follow his own edict to go after the worst of the worst. And then, of course, you have Chicago's Mayor Johnson refusing to even say he was sorry to to Sheridan's family. Then you have, and I posted about this yesterday.
You have the alderman?
Oh, yeah.
Alderman, I have her.
Maria Haddon. Oh, please play.
Yes,
please play
let us play.
Well, from what I've been told so far, right, from what police know, from speaking to the students who were with her, it seems she might have, that as they were just out, you know, people go out to the beach all the time, right? And they go out on the pier, they walk around. So the kids were out doing normal things people do in the neighborhood. And it sounds like this might have been a wrong place, wrong time, running into a person who had a gun. They might have startled this person at the end of the pier unintentionally. But that's all we know. So it from what I've been told, what police investigation has turned up so far, what they've been able to share with me and with Loyola University, we don't believe there is cause for broader community concern.
Are you joking me? If that's all you knew,
perdóname, what?
Then close your mouth and don't say anything. Stop. You don't say anything.
I can't even fathom how you come up with like, man, you know, wrong he was place, just walking time. Around an illegal, undocumented, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call him, is just walking around with a handgun and got startled because of these kids.
Yep.
Gosh
darn. Imagine, again, I always like to do the let's turn this around. If this was a white kid and, you know, three or four black kids had been out walking around being normal and, you know, ended up getting shot dead. Would she be sitting there saying, you know what, it was just maybe the white kid was startled and just shot the black kid in the back. And it was just, you know, wrong place, wrong time. Sometimes these things, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. But they're running cover because they know that their policies enable this to happen. Their lack of concern for the American public, for the public and their constituency, this is what you get. Why are sanctuary cities allowed? That's it. I'm writing a post on it later this afternoon. I have a plane to catch tomorrow morning, but I am going to do it because it is remarkable to me that this seems beneficial at all for the people of these states that are harboring criminals because they want some kind of like all citizens, all
look, at,
immigrants
at,
are.
At some point, it's like always like, what is it? The road to hell is
paved with good intentions.
Okay. Yes. So like the argument was, look, we don't want people who need medical care, or like, let's say you're in a domestic violence situation and your partner is an illegal, or you're an illegal and you don't feel like you can go to the, like, this was the argument that was made. What is it? Like 20 to 25 years ago. Okay.
Right. And they're still running with that, with when men get out guns and kill college girls. It's not working here. Like, get a new line of argument. Get a new narrative. I don't know.
This is like a little side tangent, but I'm a little flabbergasted. Clearly, like, you know when someone has no understanding of firearms whatsoever.
Right.
Okay. Like, I can't think of a responsible person
this who gets man startled, just startled and just goes gun at someone and killed them.
I do not know of a single person that would
Maria
be like
Haddon does not have a firearm. Sorry.
No. Like, are you freaking kidding me? This is like when they talk like almost like, oh, the gun magically came forward because the gun kills people.
It just it's like Yosemite Sam is like running around shooting everybody willingly.
It's disgusting to me.
It's disgusting. And imagine the family. Well, they did release a statement, and I will read it. The Gorman's parents said what happened to Sheridan could not be reduced to the idea of someone being in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is not an abstraction. This is the loss of a daughter, the loss of a sister, the loss of a future filled with milestones that will never come. Our family is forever changed. Can you imagine being that parent and hearing all of these politicians either say nothing, blame the president, not say their daughter's name, when she was brutally murdered,
they were startled.
They were just some kids out, and these things happen. I would be raging. Well, I'd be heartbroken. I'd be like, this. I can't even believe where I'm living. I can't believe that these people are in charge of our state. How depressing.
Well, and to me, it's like very, I don't know what the word is, but the fact that like we have now entered a time where Democrats, because of politics, won't say a young girl's name. But then you have Pritzker going to lay flowers down for Renee Good or what was the other guy's name? I forgot. Preddy. And putting out statements and holding press conferences about it. But then you have who look, you can argue about I'm not making a defense of the agents per se, depending on, well, except for Good in the situation, but I'm not going to argue that in this instant, but to like, we're talking about two adults that injected themselves in a hostile, volatile situation versus an 18-year-old freshman college student that was going to look at the Northern Lights and was shot dead by an illegal migrant that shouldn't have been in the United States in the first place. Yeah. And if I hear one more time, it's like when I went and I dropped a comment in Ms. Sesso's face or Instagram post.
Yeah.
And like immediately I like everyone is calling, but what about the white men who can? I'm like, okay, look, I am not advocating to not prosecute white men who kill people. Okay. Yeah. You are advocating.
Yes.
let's realize what's actually going on here.
It's selective outrage that feeds, a narrative. And it's really sad because these are actual human lives and families that are forever changed because of politics.
Well, and I think, in regards to bring it back to DHS, a lot of maybe some of our listeners don't realize, like, the Department of Homeland Security was created after 9/11 as a department to solidify the security in the homeland within the U.S. borders. So, and which then created all these little sub departments within DHS. And of course it expanded because like everything with the government, it expands. Okay. Yeah. But when you start taking these little bits and pieces out, if we're talking about our national security, do you really want to subject and take out, it's like the popsicle stick, or the deck of cards. Like, do you want to start taking out these departments that are supposed to create more security in the homeland, which is actually something I support the government in doing, and then create like loopholes and weaker situations for I don't know, for someone who wants to do damage to the United States to infiltrate. Like, I feel like that's not a good strategy. And this is just one of those examples. I mean, thankfully it didn't happen, but yesterday an oil refinery in Texas, I blew up, and it turned out to be because of a space heater. There was an explosion at an oil refinery in Texas. And initially, a lot of people were speculating that this could be an attack within the homeland, because there was some chatter in Iranian, or I think it was, I can't remember who was saying, but that there was some chatter in Iranian back channels that they were trying to take claim as if like a sleeper cell had been sent to blow up the refinery. Now, that reportedly was not the case. The sheriff says that it was a space heater, but I mean, these are the type of things that when you're in a we're in an active conflict right now, you would kind of want, I don't know, your homeland security to be locked down.
Yeah, I know. This is going to come back to bite him for sure.
I don't know, because I think people, a lot of normies are kind of worn out right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're necessarily paying attention, and they're not really going to start paying attention until we're like maybe a few months out from the midterms, to be honest.
They'll start paying attention when it starts directly impacting them. If this continues and people don't get paid and they just don't want to show up for work and people are inconvenienced, they start paying attention.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people started paying attention to immigration issues. I mean, we've had a broken border for a while. But people started paying attention when it came to their community, and they started going, I might be a Democrat, but I didn't vote for this.
The only time anybody really started paying like significant attention was when they started busing them to the cities that weren't being on the border. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. I suppose this is a problem. So
this idea.
So speaking of conflict. Okay, I want to give us a rundown, an overview of what has happened over the weekend with Iran, because it was a lot. In fact, it was like one of the first things, because Rachel and I typically don't text too much over the weekend because we really try to like just weekend with our families. And one of the first text messages that I sent to her on Monday morning was, what is happening right now?
Yeah, but it was also like, what is happening? And here are 17 updates. And I was like, I can't do this. I don't know.
All right. So we all know Operation Fury is in full effect, right?
Epic.
What did I say?
Just Operation Fury.
Okay.
You can't forget the adjective. The
epic. Because yes, the president named it Epic Fury. Okay. Yeah. The Khamenei is dead. His son is allegedly now the leader, but the only form that we've seen him in is in a cardboard cutout on stage. Yeah. There's speculation that he is in Russia, he's in a coma, he's disfigured, maybe he's dead, maybe he's alive, nobody knows, okay? So he's like the supreme leader that nobody has seen. So he's, I guess, not so supreme, I don't really know. The Strait of Hormuz is effectively shut down. Oil peaked at 120, with gas averaging at $3.96 nationally. That's up a whole dollar from last month. And right now, I don't know if you saw, which I thought was really interesting, but Secretary Bessent had announced that sanctions were being lifted on Iranian oil that is already stranded at sea. So it's not oil that's coming out from Iran. It's oil that's kind of been held captive at sea, and it's about 140 million barrels. And that those sanctions are lifted until April 19th. The goal is to... Now, a lot of people are very... It depends on who you talk to. So some people are being like, isn't this going to fund Iran that we're currently at war with? Now, the administration says that those assets will be frozen, so they won't be able to get access to them. But I don't know. We'll see if they can actually figure out how to get access to them. But the goal here is to control the oil prices, because the Iranians holding the Strait of Hormuz essentially hostage is what is causing the oil prices to get so crazy, and then kind of hold the country, not the country, but the world hostage, frankly. So that's kind of like what the game is there with that. So
So Thursday to Saturday, mm-hmm. or Sunday, let's kind of break it down. One of the big things that happened was that Iran fired two intermediate range ballistic missiles on Diego Garcia, which is a small island in the Indian Ocean that has a base from the UK and the US, and it is 4,000 kilometers from Iran. Also, fun little bit of trivia, my dad was stationed on Diego Garcia for like 2 weeks during the first Gulf War. So he basically did deep sea fishing while he was there. But anyways, I digress. Now, mind you, the foreign minister of Iran claimed that their missiles could only go 2,000 kilometers while Diego Garcia is 4,000 kilometers. And I have that was like 2 weeks before this all happened. So I'm going to here is my evidence.
Mr. Arachi, if I may, we heard from the president first in his State of the Union address that took place on Tuesday and again this morning in recorded remarks that I'm sure you've heard. The president said, among other things, that Iran has been building missiles that, in his words, could soon reach the American homeland. So as it relates to Iran's ballistic missile capabilities, does Iran now have the capability to reach the U.S. homeland? How far removed is it from that capability?
No, we don't have that capability. We have intentionally kept the range of our missiles below 2,000 kilometers. So we don't have that capability, and we don't want to do that because we don't have any hostility against, you know, the United States people or Europeans or whatsoever. We have...
So, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Mm-hmm, big time.
So, and for those of you who don't do, like my husband likes to say that kilometers or those measurements are like communist measurements or whatever. Yes. Does yours do the same thing?
Yeah. Yes. He likes to call a lot of things commie. Like, that's just how, which is ironic because he's been playing soccer since he was 3 years old. And he would constantly be annoyed because everybody in his family was like, that's a communist sport. Why are you playing that? Give him a hard time.
It is.
But now he's a curmudgeon and he calls everything communist. So
that's so funny. Well, yeah. 4,000 kilometers is basically New York to California. Okay. This means that they also have the capability to strike on major cities in Europe all the way to the UK. And then also at the same time, they also, I think over the weekend, they also dropped an intermediate ballistic missile on Israel.
Yes.
And I think I saw this morning that they're starting to put cluster bombs on the heads of these missiles, which is way worse than
terrifying.
Because the problem, because the cluster bombs, they break down. They're like, I hate to compare them, but they're like sparklers. So the Iron Dome can't cover all of them because there's too many that are falling all at the same time. So they're much more dangerous. And Diego Garcia, thankfully, one of the missiles failed. The other one was intercepted. The hub houses are B-2 stealth bombers, nuclear submarines, and is a major Indo-Pacific hub for the United States.
Yes.
So this is kind of like a big deal.
A big deal.
Mm-hmm. A wee big deal. Okay.
Yeah. And do we want to kind of talk about how everybody was really, really, really quiet on social media? All the people who really,
absolutely
really pushed hard with the whole Iran is not a nuclear threat. There's no imminent threat. And I get how we can parse out, okay, ballistics aren't the same as nuclear weapons. Fine. But their whole spiel was like an apologetics on how Iran was not an imminent threat or anything that can happen like right now. And you have even like Joe Kent coming out saying they weren't a threat in June. They're not a threat now.
And it's like, Joe Kent said that they have a FATMA or whatever of not having, nuclear. And I'm like, I don't know why we all of a sudden, I get questioning our government. That is our right, and we should absolutely do that. But what I do not understand is this blind belief in the Iranian government.
Right.
I don't get that.
No.
For them to be like, all of a sudden, and this is where I reposted. I did an article back in June or July when
that real fast too.
Because everybody was like, this is just like Iraq. And I'm like, stop being
lazy with your arguments. And let's think for a minute why this is not the case. And I reposted that. This is a perfect example because everybody was trying to say, oh, this is like weapons of mass destruction. Okay. They have been with their alleged space program, okay, which I haven't seen a single Iranian in space, by the way. They have created the boosters for these intercontinental or I'm sorry, intermediate ballistic missiles. And now all of a sudden we're going to be like, oh, you know, we said, we promise it's only going to be 2,000 kilometers. We promise that we're not doing nuclear energy. We give me a break.
Yeah. I know.
It's like you're a joke.
So all I'm saying is that all of those people that ran with that narrative for the last 2 weeks on all their podcasts,
they're very quiet.
They're not saying anything. It's like, well, maybe because, I don't know, the president and the administration knew something you don't, which shocking. I'm pretty sure that that's been the case. Like, I know it's very chic right now to hate all government officials, to think everybody is lying to you about everything. Like, everything's a lie. Everything's fabricated. You're not being told the right story. There are cabals everywhere you look. We are in bed with all of these foreign interests. I get that that's like the soup du jour right now.
Yeah.
But have you ever considered that you might not know all the details? It's a thought experiment.
It's a possibility. And I think anybody who is telling you, I know everything, and you're lying
to you.
And I don't know, but I know
Yeah, they're lying to you.
They're lying to you. Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay.
Pantalones on fire.
On fuego. Okay. Yeah. So that happens. The Diego Garcia situation happens. Trump pops off. I'm going to try and summarize real quick. Trump pops off, says, you guys are being jerks. We're going to bomb all of your energy facilities.
Yes.
And
he did.
Then that's basically what he said. Literally. He's like, we're just going to bomb all of your energy facilities because
didn't he say we're going
to. Oh, and you have to immediately
get crazy
open
with the bombs or something.
Yeah. Like, what are we gonna, I can't remember the quote.
Bomb but he did, to like our heart's delight or something.
Yes.
Like, maybe not that. Let's not.
He said, you have 48 hours to open the Strait of Hormuz or we're going to like bomb you to oblivion. All of your energy facilities. That's it. And then immediately the Democrats, the left or the non-interventionalists start to cry war crime because you can't attack energy facilities for civilians, but also like at the same time, it's also being used by the IRCG. So
I get it.
Let's think about this. Mm-hmm. So then now his name is a new player has entered the stage.
Okay.
He is the head of parliament. And I believe the way you pronounce Iran parliament speaker. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Halabaf is how you pronounce it.
I do not know. I'm not going to try.
When I look at it, I see Gandalf. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
But I believe his name is Halabaf. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he then counters with like, oh, well, we're going to obliterate all of these power plants in the Middle East, many of them being U.S. assets or, you know, Qatar, the UAE or whatever. The UAE is getting very upset.
Yes.
They're very, very, very close to being like, we're going to enter this war. And also the claim is that in the back channels, they're in the president's ear encouraging him to continue with the conflict and just get rid of Iran. Nobody likes Iran. And for anybody who's saying that Iran is winning when nobody wants to help them out and nobody likes them, I think is delusional. Well, the only issue, the only upper hand that they have right now is the Strait of Hormuz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that brings us to Monday. And Monday, Trump wakes up. Of course, everybody's kind of talking about how the markets are going all over the place. Trump, no likey. Okay.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So he wakes up Monday morning and says, you know what? We're having very good and productive conversations with Iran.
Okay.
I think we're going to have a deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put a 5-day pause on the whole thing. Now, Gandalf says,
accurate.
I deny anything that the president is saying. There is no deal. However, reports are that Turkey and Pakistan are working the back channels with Witkoff and Jared to work out a deal. And all of this is happening as the United States is moving more assets into the region.
Yeah.
Because they have the amphibious ships are heading there. We have like 2,500 Marines headed that way going to the Strait. So
What is happening, Rachel?
If I'm honest, I usually don't like peace out with the news, but in my Twitter feed and in the places, the sources I go to for headlines, every other headline was contradicting the prior one. And I was like, I got to give this a couple days because
you got to give it a couple days to cook.
I'm not going to share about any of this because by the time I share it, I'll have 50 DMs waiting for me with questions, and then I'll have to retract or say, oh, by the way, this just came out. I'm not going to do that. Everything's contradicting. It's Trump saying this thing, Iran saying this thing. Then you've got people with sources in the White House saying we're deploying a lot more troops. Then someone saying, actually, the peace talks went great. We're wrapping up this conflict in a couple of days. I'm like, I don't know.
But to me, it's very similar to what was happening during the negotiations in the lead up to the Iran,
right?
Like, yes. Strikes.
Agree. I'm just going to, like you said, let it cook because it's too much and it's too rapid fire and all of it's conflicting. So I'm going to sit on it.
Well, okay. So this is all the speculation that is happening. So either a lot of people are thinking maybe Gandalf, which is Halabaf, but I'm going to keep calling him Gandalf. And you guys, this is our inside joke. Maybe he is just saying no because he's worried that anyone within Iran, IRCG, if he's seen as negotiating publicly, he'll get taken out. Even the president, this one I thought actually was really interesting. Listen to the president talk about who he's talking to.
Don't forget, we've wiped out the leadership phase one, phase two, and largely phase three. But we're dealing with the man who I believe is the most respected and the leader. You know, it's a little tough. We've wiped out everybody.
Is that the Supreme Leader?
No, not the Supreme Leader.
So
we don't.
Not much talk.
Well, nobody heard of the second Supreme Leader, the son.
Are these direct?
Nobody. Calls? We have not heard from the son. Every once in a while, you'll see a statement made, but we haven't. We don't know if he's living. But the people that seem to be running it, and they seem that based on really fact, because things they've said have taken place.
Mr. President,
again.
Mr. President, I know you've deployed.
Because I don't want him to be killed. Okay? I don't want him to be killed.
Mr. President, you've deployed.
Nobody wants to be that. Nobody wants that job right now, you know? Nobody's exactly looking forward to being the head of that particular country, but perhaps that problem.
So that's the other issue, is that whoever comes out as forward facing, the question is, will he get taken out internally because he's a traitor, or will he get taken out by Israel? Because also Israel is over here going, we're not huge fans of the fact that the administration might be negotiating right now with Iran because they have other interests.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, for those that keep arguing that Israel is the lead in this, I'm like, give me a break here.
Get out of here.
So do we have any, does anybody know? No. What I do find very interesting is, again, the legacy media. I saw it on MSNBC, on CBS, not CBS, on CNN and ABC. I think I saw them where they were like, but the Iranians said that you didn't talk to them. And I'm like, are we really again?
That's what we're doing. I don't know.
That's who we trust. That is who we trust. So time will tell. Clearly something is up. And I think the president is hedging his bets. I think he wanted to keep the markets from completely flipping out, which he did succeed. The Dow opened over a positive, like 1,000 points.
Yeah.
The oil went from like,
because it's not.
Oil went from like 120 down to 103.
Yeah.
So we will see. But I think he's going to take the island of Carr.
Yeah.
And I think this is posturing. I have a feeling. That's my feeling. But did you see the Iran propaganda Lego movie video?
Oh, I did. I did see that. And I was like, I can't believe this is where we're at.
Insane. I'm not going to play it here because it's kind of long, but I'm going to put it in the show notes. So Iran put it, they love propaganda. They created like an AI Lego movie version of them defending the Strait of Hormuz and setting up mines and Trump crying over his phone. It's insane.
It's insane.
This is how the propaganda wars now are being played out. It's
2026. My God.
It's with AI. So, okay.
What I do want to talk about is, did you follow along this weekend with the rich American socialist who went to Cuba for Fire Festival 2.0?
Are you talking about the annoying ladies wearing the pink shirts on the plane?
Dude, this was crazy. Okay, so
insufferable.
Insane to me. Of course, Cuba is currently, has always been struggling. Let's be honest. They've been struggling ever since it was a communist dictatorship, ever since Cuba, Castro took over. Currently, there is an embargo of oil on Cuba. They're continuing to have blackouts on the island. I think they had one just
another one this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. So Code Pink flew American and European activists to Cuba as part of Nuestra America convoy. Okay. They claim to have 20 tons of humanitarian aid to protest the U.S. blockade. Participants included Hassan Parker, the Twitch streamer, with his Cartier glasses and like $400 shirt while he was walking the streets with a drink in his hand.
It's so dumb.
Ilhan Omar's daughter, which her mother was very proud of daughter. Members of Code Pink, the Irish rap group Kneecap, who put on concerts for the people who were in attendance.
Obviously. Okay? Mm-hmm. As one does.
It's insane. And they stayed. Like, where does one stay at a hotel?
In Cuba.
So they stayed at the 5-star Grand Hotel Bristol Media.
Okay.
Rooms go for $130 to $520 a night. Hotel. There is this video. Oh my, I have to show you this video. This is insane. Okay. I'm going to narrate it for you guys real quick. This guy is in the darkness. And as he turns the camera in the horizon, like a beacon on the hill, is the hotel glowing in the night. It's crazy. Watch this.
So this is Cuba, and there is no electricity anywhere because there's no oil, there's no energy. And this is what it looks like.
Look at that.
Except that hotel, because it's a 5-star hotel. That's it. Wow. Everybody else is in the dark.
I mean, they spent energy on the concerts that they attended. Mm-hmm. I saw videos of them riding around on little buses, like meeting with, it was the most insane thing. And their entire thing is they're making a mural as a gift. Did they think to hire a local artist and maybe pay them to put to do the mural? No, not at all. I can't wrap my brain around like believing or being a socialist coming from the United States and Europe, going to Cuba and being like, yeah, this is the project we wish to partake in. Obviously, it's because they assign all blame to the United States of America and none to the local government.
Well, yeah, but I think that they don't really want to be socialists. They know that they're never going to have to be because they're privileged enough to live in America where that's not a reality. So they can simp and act like this is something that they actually, that's idealistic and that they love and there's great things about Cuba, blah, blah, blah. But they know they're never going to have to be impacted by any of it. It's all made up in their, like, revolutionary fever dreams. They think that they want to be part of something like that, but they've never had to actually experience it. So they don't understand how desperate they would be to get out if they had to.
Well, and I mean, Hassan, if you guys aren't familiar with Hassan Parker, he is...
Is it Piker?
Hassan Parker? Oh, you're right. It's Hassan Piker.
Okay.
Well. So he is actually the nephew of Cenk Uygur, who is one of the hosts and founders of the Young Turks. And he actually started off on the Young Turks, and now he's just this Twitch streamer that talks nonsense.
What is Twitch
online? So Twitch is actually a live streaming gaming platform primarily.
Oh, okay.
So often what happens is that people will, like, you can watch people play video games and they'll have a chat up and they'll have conversations while you're watching people play video games.
That's weird.
That's the platform focus of it. Well, this is Hassan Piker sharing about his experience in Cuba.
It's incredible. It's truly one of my favorite places officially. I totally understand why Will was saying that about Cuba. It's remarkable. The people's resilience is remarkable. There's I mean, there's like rolling blackouts that take place throughout the day, every day, all around the country, right? 11 million people. But today is a beautiful day out here. It's like, you know, 75 degrees, sunny. People are partying. People are partying in the fucking streets. They're, I don't know if it's like an island mindset. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if that has something to do with it. I'm sure that has something to do with it, but like, they're just chilling. Like,
there is nothing else to do, Hassan, because they have no power
or food or money. Or
nothing. So... okay, I can speak as a person from the neighboring island. Yeah, there's an island mindset. Things go at a different pace, but it's also has nothing to do with that. It's because they have no power.
Like, such privilege, little bit. You know, you're not going to be able to play your video games there, right? Does he understand that? Like, if you actually submerge yourself into a socialist country like that because it's your favorite place on earth and you just want to party every day, you know you're not going to have a source of income like you have right now. You're not going to have that opportunity. But of course they
said the most wild things on his stream. He claimed that the only reason that he was staying at this five-star hotel was because the United States required him to stay there. Okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely not true. In fact, that is one of the hotels that is listed as to not stay because it is a hotel that is associated with the government. And when you stay there, you end up funding the government.
Yeah.
You can stay at Airbnbs. They didn't do that. Then he also says these are privately owned. These hotels are not privately owned. They're the government's. The internet that he has, the power that he has, everything that he has is being diverted from the population so he can sit in his air conditioning in his room. And then at one point, he's talking about like, I got the best internet here. And it's still like glitching while he's doing his streaming.
Yes. Yes.
I don't understand.
I do. He doesn't have to live in it. He has the option to leave and come back to a free country. Everybody can say those types of things. Because they know that they're under no threat. You can come back here and live.
Yeah,
and
but I guess what I'm trying to get at is like,
do they know they sound stupid?
You willfully mean? Ignorant?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what all of them are. They've experienced zero oppression. They've never had to actually, I don't know what his story is, but when I listen to these, you know, 20-somethings talk about the oppression that they feel living in America, I realize that they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't read a history book and they've never spoke with someone who comes from a place that actually has dealt with oppression and violence and communism and socialism. They have no clue. It all is just this, whatever they read in their like middle grade dystopian novels that sounds like exciting to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really think that's what it is. And they think they sound enlightened.
His background to me is just like even because I don't know if you know this, but he did not grow up here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Turkey.
Okay.
Until he was like 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His family had him here so he would have U.S. citizenship and raised him in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the only reason he's over here while like spouting off his garbage.
Yeah. Because his parents knew something. They knew something. They knew something was good about America that you want to now escape to go live in what? Cuba?
Yeah.
Go. Good luck. Come back in a decade and tell us your experience. Probably a year. He'll be there a year.
It's gross and it's disappointing. And I think it's also really frustrating because often what they'll do is if you're someone who is in opposition and to the communist government and you point out, look, the majority of the issues here on the island are because of the communist government. The blockade, the oil blockade is a new thing.
Yeah.
They were allowed to bring in food, medicine. They have never produced anything for themselves. They've always been dependent on Russia or other countries. They're not sustainable. They're not self-sustainable. And that's why they're in the situation they're in. They'll just dismiss them as like shills for the U.S. government or whatever.
Again, because everybody sees espionage and intrigue and lying and foreign interests taking over all of our government officials and everything that has to do with politics. No one believes anything anymore. So people just say things. And it's unfortunate because young people hear that kind of stuff and they believe that. They believe those lies. Like, oh yeah, it's so stinking amazing to go to Cuba. They party all day long, you know, after they wait in bread lines or whatever.
Yeah. They romanticize it. I mean, that's a lot of it. A lot of it is romanticized because they think it's like, oh, the resilience of the people and they self and they figure. And I'm like, they have to be resilient.
They have to be resilient. I saw some young kid the other day basically romanticizing the fact that, you know, in Cuba, they have this rich vintage type of vibe. You know, they all drive old cars and they have these beautiful old buildings. It's like, bro, they have those old cars because they can't buy new ones. Those, yes, of course they have old cars. They have no option but to have old cars. I know. I can't either.
Well, they're back. They're back in the United States. And also, I do not understand why, if this was really about humanitarian aid, why can't you just send the aid? Why do you have to go over there with your group of friends to create content, to do
because they don't care.
Tourism, poor tourism through the streets. Like, I can't even fathom. There was this one video. This one really got my goat because they were like in these little buses about to go on a tour of Havana and they're singing Guantanamera, which is one of Celia Cruz's iconic songs. And Celia Cruz was banned from coming back home. She was banished from the island. When her family died, the government would not let her come back. And they're there singing her like, what?
Yeah.
What is happening?
The disconnect is real, but they, it's real.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead. Now it's like, I got that off my chest.
Very good. Very good.
I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up for today's episode of Rivera and Rees. I want to remind everyone we will not be here on Thursday because Rachel has better things to do than to sit here and talk with me. No.
Never.
No. No, but it'll be good because we'll have something, we'll have some inside information or things to chat about. Let's put it that way. On Saturday for our Unfiltered Live, which is going to be open to everyone this weekend. So please join us 11:30 Eastern on Saturday. And we're going to get a rundown of Rachel's travels and some of our unfiltered thoughts about what's going on maybe in the creator world. Who knows?
Yeah, why
not? It goes all over the place on these unfiltered, because that's the whole point of it. Okay. So if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button wherever you're listening. We're on all major podcast apps. We'll be on YouTube tomorrow where you get to see our lovely faces. But if you want to see us the moment I hit publish and listen without ad interruption, please become please consider becoming a paying subscriber. The link is in the show notes. Do you have anything else you want to share with the class, Rachel?
I mean, I'm sure I do. I have to go pack. I don't know.
I can't
even love traveling. I don't love traveling. I don't like being away from my house and my family.
Neither do I.
I'm excited to go and I'm going to have a great time with the assistant to the regional manager, but I'm like, I don't know.
It'll be great. You'll have a fun time.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Yeah. And I'm excited to do what we're getting to do.
I never do those type of events very well because then I require like 3 days of recovery afterwards because it's like so much engagement.
No, I will not get that. Like we get in and I am jumping right into it on Saturday morning. I get in late on Friday and Saturday morning I have 2 birthday parties to drive kids to. We have our unfiltered. We have an event that night. And then the next morning, Palm Sunday, we're having people over for lunch. I'm like, there's no rest.
I'm tired. I mean, stop talking. Yeah. You're making me tired.
It'll be awesome, though. I'll keep you guys updated on Instagram and on Substack if you follow me over there. So it'll be great.
Yep. All right, friends. Well, we're going to head out. And just in case you forgot, here's a reminder that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. Okay. Bye.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.